Opening statements in the confirmation hearing of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Lawmakers draw the battle lines that'll set the agenda for the days to come.
You will have a lot of questions about her comments on the ACA, and I think she'll probably be questioned at some length about abortion and Roe versus Wade.
And U.S. stocks extend their rally. Plus, the U.S. sweeps this year's Nobel Prizes. It's Monday, October 12th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. U.S. stocks began the week with gains reflecting optimism at the start of earnings season. Investors are betting that major companies turned a corner in the third quarter and that the worst is now behind them. J.P. Morgan Chase kicks off big bank earnings tomorrow. The Dow gained 250 points or nearly 1% today. The S&P 500 added more than 1.5% and the Nasdaq rose 2.5%. Shares of Amazon and Apple also rose today ahead of the e-commerce giant's Prime Day deals and the expected launch of a new iPhone. Amazon had postponed its annual Prime Day event and will now run promotions on 2 days, tomorrow and Wednesday. Many retailers, including Walmart and Target, are also pushing out holiday deals this week instead of their usual launch in November. Apple, meanwhile, is expected to unveil its 5G-enabled iPhone tomorrow. The company is hoping to get iPhone users to upgrade to the device, which promises faster internet speeds. In recent years, millions of users have been holding on to their older devices rather than upgrading. And with several European countries seeing a rise in coronavirus cases, the European Union is looking to tighten and clarify travel restrictions. Officials are aiming to simplify what's currently a patchwork of regulations into a region-wide approach. Brussels has proposed common criteria for restrictions based on each country's infection levels. EU officials are expected to discuss proposals at a summit this week. Travel in the region rebounded this summer as lockdowns were lifted, but has fallen from its peak in August. Travel from the U.S. to much of Europe is still restricted. Coming up after the break, day one of confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Senate confirmation hearings are underway for Judge Amy Coney Barrett's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. Senators laid out their arguments in opening statements today. But Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham suggested this week's hearings are unlikely to change any lawmakers' minds.
This is probably not about persuading each other unless something really dramatic happens. All Republicans will vote yes and all Democrats will vote no.
After nearly 5 hours of opening statements, Judge Barrett delivered hers. She reflected on her personal life and career, including her work as a clerk for the late Justice Antonin Scalia.
More than the style of his writing, though, it was the content of Justice Scalia's reasoning that shaped me. His judicial philosophy was straightforward. A judge must apply the law as it is written, not as she wishes it were. Sometimes that approach meant reaching results that he did not like. But as he put it in one of his best-known opinions, that is what it means to say that we have a government of laws and not of men.
Over the next 2 days, Barrett will face a gauntlet of questions from lawmakers on her judicial background and her philosophy. For more, we turn now to our senior writer, James Grimaldi. Hi, James. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
James, let's start with what we heard from Senator Lindsey Graham. If this hearing isn't expected to change any minds among lawmakers, who is this hearing for? Is it an appeal to the American public?
Well, I think you could make that argument. I mean, we should stop and say there is a constitutional duty of the Senate to actually advise and consent for this nomination. So it may now seem to be a formality based upon people and senators already saying how they're going to vote. But Senator Graham is going to try to have a real hearing that will elicit some information about her background and her history. But that said, and with the matter seemingly settled, it looks like the Democrats are focusing on perhaps Election Day. We are very close to the presidential election, and we have a number of Senate elections that are very close. So they focused in on the Affordable Care Act, and each one of them brought a photograph of one of their constituents and made an argument to defend the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, making the argument that they believe that Amy Coney Barrett would be the deciding vote to throw out this law. The Republicans were making a strong defense of her record. I think they believe they have a candidate that will appeal to many of the voters in the fall as well, particularly their base. And also were doing some very strong pushback with her previous hearing when she was up for an appeals court position that she got, in which she was questioned about her Roman Catholic faith.
Let's pull out some of those threads in more detail. James, can you talk some more about Judge Amy Coney Barrett's judicial background and the decisions she's made in her career that are likely to come up during these hearings?
Well, she was a star student at Notre Dame, which has never produced a Supreme Court justice. And after law school, she clerked for a conservative on the appeals court for the D.C. Circuit, and then Justice Antonin Scalia, who is her most famous mentor. Of course, he has since died. She shared his judicial philosophy called original intent or textualism. And that means that the judge looks at the actual words of the law and the Constitution, and they don't include other kinds of intent or legislative history when deciding a case. And I think those are probably the most important things to look at when wanting to judge how she will probably rule if she's confirmed to the Supreme Court.
And what about her faith? We heard Joe Biden come out today and say she shouldn't be questioned on that, but it's certainly become a topic already. Here's Senator Josh Hawley, who took issue with questions about Barrett's faith.
This is an attempt to broach a new frontier, to set up a new standard. Actually, it's an attempt to bring back an old standard that the Constitution of the United States explicitly forbids. I'm talking about a religious test for office.
James, can you tell us more about Barrett's Christianity and the group she's a part of, People of Praise?
Yeah, she's a faithful Catholic who attends a Sunday Mass at her local Catholic parish. She's done many of the routine things that a lot of people do when they're in a Catholic church. She served on her parish council and donated to her church's capital campaign. Pretty standard stuff. In addition to her Catholic faith, she's involved in a non-denominational Christian group called People of Praise. That's not actually a Catholic group. Like I said, it's an ecumenical Christian group. And it's charismatic in orientation. And that means that they believe in the Holy Spirit and can be expressed through speaking in tongues and healing. It's part of a movement that we've described in an article in the Wall Street Journal on Monday, explaining that the charismatic movement has actually become quite significant in the Catholic Church, but doesn't necessarily reflect how she would rule on the court. Certainly, she and her supporters, mostly who are Republicans, say that they don't think this will have anything to do with her judicial decisions. She says she will decide cases based on the law and not impose her personal beliefs or her faith beliefs when deciding a case. And that's why you end up going back to look at her judicial philosophy of original intent and textualism. That said, you can find a long history of hers of pro-life activism, opposing the Supreme Court decision on Roe versus Wade that legalized abortion. And if you look at the writings of her mentor, Justice Scalia, and say Justice Thomas, they have used the argument of original intent and textualism as a reason that they would have overturned Roe versus Wade. So while she will say that her faith does not inform or really dictate how she will rule on a case, you can look at her judicial philosophy to see how she might rule on something like Roe versus Wade.
We've also been hearing today about how Barrett, if confirmed, is likely to weigh in on major issues, including the Affordable Care Act, as you mentioned earlier. Here's Senator Richard Blumenthal.
President Trump has vowed that any judge he nominated would pass the very strong test, his words, and that they would strike down the Affordable Care Act. Judge Barrett, in all honesty, you have auditioned for this job through your academic writing and judicial opinions, and you've passed that test.
James, what else are we expecting in the coming days?
Well, I think you will have a lot of questions about her comments on the ACA, and I think she'll probably be questioned at some length about abortion and Roe versus Wade. In, you know, recent confirmation hearings, more and more you find that many of these nominees are kind of dodging and ducking many of the specific questions. And in fact, in the hearing for the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeal, she was asked by a Republican, John Kennedy of Louisiana, to opine about the case Griswold versus Connecticut, which established a right to privacy, essentially in your bedroom, regarding use of contraceptives. And that case, of course, is the one that Roe v. Wade was based upon. And she wouldn't even answer Senator Kennedy's questions in that regard. I expect that we'll probably see a similar answer on that. So I think that may be why you're seeing the Democrats taking their opening statements and maybe even some of their questions to sort of make arguments directly to voters, as opposed to expecting to be able to elicit anything more revelatory than we already know about Judge Amy Coney Barrett.
Wall Street Journal senior writer James Grimaldi. James, thanks so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
And finally, the Nobel Prize Committee wrapped up this year's awards by giving the prize for economics to two Stanford University professors today. Paul R. Milgram and Robert B. Wilson were recognized for their new insights into how auctions work. The announcement gives the U.S. a clean sweep of this year's Nobel Prizes. At least one American citizen won in each of the categories where individuals were chosen. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.